Blog Talk Radio.
Closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer than I ever can.
Yeah, I used to dream about showing the world what I dream about. To get a mic my whole life, I thought it'd be the mouth. I guess it's fitting how life threw me the curveball. Pops told me work till you make it, man, then work more. I guess I took that to heart, cause I've been working harder now than I did at the start. And I won't stop till I get to the top, till I can give all of my fam all the things that they want. But there ain't no doubt I continue to be the doubted, but that's just motivating, so where would I be without it? Cause the same people asking why you're doing it will ask you how you did it. So fuck your credit, stay committed to your vision. They can't see it, it's yours. The top floor looks far where you can get in the doors. But it's crazy what you can see with your eyes closed. That's why I stay in my grind mode. I know I'm getting closer,
closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, closer, closer.
Hello, and how is everybody doing this evening? I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP locker room, and we are pumped up, you guys. We're pumped up every weekend, but we are especially jacked for tonight because we have an amazing show set up for you. And for those that are joining us for the very first time, Before You Go Pro is a company that is solely focused on the mental, moral, and social guidance and support of aspiring football players. We work specifically with high school and junior college football players, and it's for those kids, those parents, those coaches that just want to get after it. They want to learn more about the industry. They're looking to be fed, and that is where we get after it right here in the BYGP locker room. So tonight is set up right down the middle for you guys, and we actually for the first time are doing our first 2-in-1 locker room show. So we're going to give the first half of the show to one of my dear friends, the head coach of Missouri Baptist University, Jason Burianic, and then we're going to give the last part of the show to some friends of mine as well. And these are the producer and director of Born to Lead, George Ananopoulos and Laura Slife. Born to Lead is the Sal Anesi story. And for those who don't know, you're definitely going to want to stay tuned for that because it's an inspirational story. And it really talks about and describes almost the explosion or the catapult of this Colorado Buffaloes football program. So you guys are going to want to stay around for that. So great show lined up for you tonight. And I think we already have Coach Burianic on the line. Coach B, can you hear us tonight?
Yeah, Terrence, I got you. I'm excited. You got me fired up. So thanks for the intro.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, it was in line since you're a former Buff that we do this show with you on, and I know that you're somebody that knows about Sal and the Born to Lead story. So we're gonna let you kick this thing off, and then let them bring us home.
Well, that sounds great. You know, I'm excited to be with you. It's awesome to see you. And it's funny, as you well know. My dad was working in the athletic department for many years, even before you and I started playing there. And I never forget when I was 7 or 8 years old, Sal was working in the summer, came out to the house to do a little work. He was setting up some tents for a get-together we were having, and got a chance to play catch with him in the backyard. And that's a moment I treasure forever. So I can't wait to see that documentary. I heard great things about it.
Wow, that's an amazing story right there, Jason. So, yeah, first and foremost, for those that don't know you, obviously dear friend of the program and our mentoring service, but for those that don't know you, Can you tell everybody where you're originally from?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Boulder, Colorado. My dad was an associate athletic director at CU and grew up there my whole life, grew up a Buff my whole life. And when Coach Neuheisel gave me an opportunity to join the football team, it was a no-brainer, something I wanted to do forever. Got an opportunity to play wide receiver and, you know, be alongside you guys and so many great Buffs, past and present. That's kind of the best part about joining the University of Colorado football family is, you know, once you're part of it, it's something you're part of for life. So, you know, all the guys that I watched growing up and got to be a part of that. So very, very blessed.
Definitely. And obviously a great player yourself. And we all transition out of the game of football. Some of us stay in it. You decided to stay in it as a coach. When did you start to decide that coaching was the route that you wanted to go?
I think I decided that at a young age. You know, it was something that I just latched onto. I had a love for sports, and, you know, I think, you know, between being around athletics my whole life through my dad's job and then my mom was a teacher, I kind of felt coaching was a way to combine those two things that I was around all the time with my parents was the teaching aspect and the mentoring aspect along with the athletics. So I think at a young age, you know, I kind of started helping at times coach my sister's softball teams, even when I was like 12, 13 years old, just to help out and be a part of athletics. And so at a young age, that was something I really wanted to do. And then as I got into college, you know, I knew that this game was going to end at some point playing football, but I just loved the game. And I knew that with my size and speed, it wasn't going to give me an opportunity at the next level. So I turned my focus really into getting into the coaching profession. I've been in it ever since I graduated.
And even as a teammate, you know, just knowing that you were becoming a coach definitely made sense. You were always a smart, cerebral player. And just elated that you're a coach now. You got an opportunity to become a head coach pretty young in your 30s, and you're now at Missouri Baptist University. What made Missouri Baptist the place for you to get your first start as a head coach?
Well, it was a good fit for me. It was a program that the school had never had football before, so it was a challenge for me to start the program, be the first head coach in school history, which was very daunting as a young guy. But it was an opportunity for me to achieve my goal of being a head coach. And then at the same token, I didn't have to move my family. You know, we'd been living in the St. Louis area where my wife is from, and you know, we've got three kids right now. So at the time, we just had one daughter. But it was an opportunity for me not to have to uproot the family, and that's a big deal. You know, when you're in the coaching industry, you've got to be mobile. And so that luxury was something I had to jump at. It was a good fit for me.
Definitely. Now, obviously, you know, our audience is young football players. A lot of them are looking for that scholarship offer. They're looking for that college opportunity. Many of them don't know about the NAIA. They're so used to hearing about the NCAA. Can you give our audience a little bit of background about the NAIA and what's the difference?
Yeah, absolutely. So the NAIA is a lot of schools. There are some schools in the West, in California. There are a couple in Arizona, Oregon. But it's primarily kind of the Midwestern part of the United States and the Southern part of the United States. The NAI is a separate organization from the NCAA. And one of the advantages that the NAIA has is that the eligibility requirements are different from the NCAA. They're actually a little bit easier in regards to eligibility. So to give you an idea, a high school senior, if they meet – if they have above a 2.0 GPA, have scored above a 16 ACT, or are in top half of their class, if they meet two out of those three requirements, they're going to be ruled eligible to compete at the NAIA level versus the NCAA, where you have to have a certain level of core GPA and meet an 18 ACT score. So the NAI doesn't deal with core courses. All they look at is what is your overall GPA. So from an eligibility standpoint, that's probably the biggest difference. When you get into a talent standpoint, it's highly competitive. You get a wide range of talent. You get some really talented guys that aren't NCAA eligible that would go to a Division I school possibly, but they don't want to sit out a year. They just want to go to a school and play right away. So the talent in our league especially is outstanding. I compare it a lot to Division II and really at the high end of our league and the teams that are competing for national titles. I would put it up against the high-end Division II, possibly even, they might even be able to compete at a 1 FCS level.
Great description right there of the differences. We appreciate that. And I can attest, and Jason knows, that we've sent players that have played at Missouri Baptist, have played at the NAI level, and all of them said it is great football. So great feedback right there, Jason. Can you tell us a little bit about the scholarship situation? Does NAIA schools like yourself offer scholarships to players?
Yeah, we are able to offer scholarships. We're very similar to a Division II school in that regard. So, our school in particular does not combine academics and athletics. In other words, they're not going to stack financial aid. So if you come to Missouri Baptist, I will sit down with that player and say, this is your scholarship amount that we can give you within our budget and based on our needs and talent level and everything like that. Other schools are a little different. They may stack academic aid on top of football scholarship money. But either way, the schools are able to scholarship for football majority of the time. There's going to be not all of it is going to be paid for, but there is a lot of scholarship opportunity. One of the other differences does involve scholarship money in that at the Division II level, NCAA scholarship, Division II scholarship schools are allotted at most 36 scholarships that they can hand out for football aid. The NAI doesn't count that money in the same respect. We are able to hand out as much scholarship money as we want in the recruiting process, and then we are held to a 24 scholarship limit in regards to how many people actually step on the field. So it's a little bit different in that sense, but in upfront scholarshiping, we can give out actually more money than a Division II school can.
Gotcha. Great information. And hopefully a lot of you parents and players are really paying attention. There's a huge opportunity at the NAIA level. Now, you've talked about basically bringing this program from nothing, literally no field, raising money and building it to a very, very substantial program right now. And you guys are competing against hard competition week in, week out. What's been the most gratifying thing for you as a coach since you started the program?
Well, I think I'd have to say the most gratifying is just looking back on how far we've come. I've been blessed to have a guy by the name of Charlie Coe with me who's got just a tremendous resume, and he's been with me since day one. And he's got NFL experience and previous head coaching experience at Alabama State. And he's been a guy that has been just like a father figure and a mentor to me. He's been there every step of the way. And I think when he looks back, it's just we're very proud of how far we've brought the program. This is only our fourth year. So in that time, like you said, we have a brand new, $12, $13 million football facility that is a great place for our student athletes. We've got a great practice field for them. We're finalizing a campaign to finish that field with bleachers and scoreboard to make it our game field. But, we've come a long way in the 3 years that we've had a program, and I think that's the most gratifying. Our talent level increases every year. I'd be lying to you if I told you we're where we want to be yet. But every year, I think we take substantial steps to getting closer to that point. Have accumulated some key wins. You know, this year, we 2 weeks ago, we were able to get a win against a ranked team, which is the first ranked team that we've beat in our history, and that's a big deal. So, you know, we got to keep taking those steps and keep growing the program, but we're getting there, and I'm really proud of how far we've come.
Yeah, I guess every step of the way, you guys are writing history, so that's pretty cool. And I'm sure at the end of it, somebody's going to have a lengthy resume to try to stack up to with you guys. Now, as far as recruiting, obviously, like I said, we've got young high school and junior college players. They're trying to learn about recruiting. What are the key recruiting areas for Missouri Baptist, and are you guys willing to go out of area for the right player?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for the right player, we're willing to go anywhere. You know, if I got to go to the North Pole to get the right player, I'm going to do it, kind of like any program out there. But, yeah, our primary recruiting areas is we focus on the St. Louis area, which is where our school is located, and we focus on Missouri and Southern Illinois. That being said, you know, I think the one thing that we've found, this is just a social thing, is that with social media and technology and FaceTime and all that stuff, you know, we can actually recruit a student athlete anywhere in the world with relative ease without spending a lot of money. We can be in that kid's living room over via FaceTime or some type of Skype or something. So really, that has helped us expand our area tremendously. In fact, there's a kid that I've talked to on a fairly regular basis that is very interested in coming to Missouri Baptist that is from Brazil. And I've been on FaceTime with him and his mom when they're down in Brazil, and I'm sitting in St. Louis. So, you know, really, because of technology, if we find an athlete that we like, that we feel it will be a fit for our program, both from a talent standpoint and from a character and a personal standpoint, we're gonna be able to recruit that individual, and that's really exciting.
Wow, that is exciting, and I never considered that or really thought about how it makes it easier to recruit the kid who's out of state with the technology. That's great. Now, we've roughly got about another 6 minutes here with Coach Burianic, and then we will segue our show into the Born to Lead segment of the show. And definitely appreciate your time, Coach. We know that you're in the middle of a season here. For those kids that are looking at possibly getting recruited, maybe even leaving home and leaving the state where they're from, is there anything that you guys do as a coaching staff that helps you evaluate whether a kid is ready to leave and go maybe states away for school or maybe ready socially for college? Is there any easier way to evaluate that? We may have lost Coach Burianic there. Hopefully we can get him back in here. Coach, you still with us? We'll see if we can get him to call back in. But once again, this is Coach Jason Burianic, a dear friend of mine, somebody that I played with at the University of Colorado. Now he is the head coach of Missouri Baptist, doing a great job up there, literally started the program from nothing. So hopefully we can get Coach B back on here. Looks like we might have him. Let's see if we can patch him in here. Hey, Coach, can you hear us?
There?
Yeah, we're back.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can.
Hey,
I can hear you.
I heard your. I could hear your question, and then I lost you. In regards to finding out if a kid is a fit for college, is that what you were asking about?
Yeah, just a fit to go away. Maybe it's a kid that isn't from the Missouri area, and just trying to judge if he'll be able to fit socially away from home.
Yeah, you know, that is a big challenge that we face, and I think a lot of schools face that challenge because, you know, I think during the recruiting process, parents, kids, you know, they're really excited about that opportunity. And what we've found at times is things start to become more real as you get closer and closer to training camp and you get that uneasiness about going away.
So it is very difficult to judge. You know, it's hard. We try to put everything out there. I always tell the kids that I almost want to deter you from coming here, because if you're really insistent that we feel like that it's going to be a better transition. But it's a difficult thing, you know, for any college student. And you can speak to that probably better than I can, because, you know, you coming from the California, San Francisco area out to Boulder, Colorado, that's a big transition. So when they get out there to us, we really just try to embrace them and, you know, make them feel welcome as much as possible and try and get them involved in things. But it's a tough thing to reach, because I think during the recruiting process, every kid believes that they want to play college football and they have what it takes and they're willing to put in the time. But the reality is, what we find is some kids that get there and they realize it is too much, whether it's being away from home or the time commitment of playing college football. So I think what I would advise parents and high school athletes is to be honest about it. You know, as parents, make sure that this is what your kid wants to do and not your dream, because it's not going to end well either way. So, you know, that's kind of my advice, but it is a tough thing to evaluate as a recruiter for sure.
Wow, great feedback. A couple more questions here, and then we'll let you go, Coach. Appreciate it. From your history of coaching, what has been the hardest position to evaluate?
Wow. You know, I think quarterback is a tough one. Quarterback's a tough one to evaluate, just because, you know, you're seeing film. I don't think in the recruiting process at our level, it's tough to get to know exactly what that kid knows, you know. What have they been taught? Have they been taught how to read defenses? You know, every high school is a little bit different in how they teach a kid's read and how they teach you know, what the defenses are. So really trying to gauge how much that quarterback really knows. Obviously we can evaluate the talent, but I'm just a big believer that a quarterback has to be one of the smartest guys out there, has to know what they're looking at to make a quick decision. You know, arm talent is only part of it. So that is the hardest thing. That is a very difficult thing to evaluate. And then I think offensive line and defensive line to really identify what is that kid's makeup. You know, are they truly a warrior? Because in the trenches, it's tough work. And, you know, are they truly somebody that's going to be tough and go out there and get the job done? So I would say those two are a little bit more difficult than some of the other ones to evaluate.
Gotcha. And last question tonight. Once again, we definitely appreciate your time, Coach Birionic. But last question for the night is, as you guys start to heat up the recruiting, can you give our audience, these young players, the reason why maybe they should consider Missouri Baptist's football program?
Well, I think we're up and coming. You know, I think that every year we put together a really good class of guys. We have a great school. People who aren't looking for a really big school, but they like having small class sizes. They like having an intimate setting to go to school where there's a ton of support. We have probably the best academic people that I've ever been around in regards to just caring for students. And it's a great place. The support is fantastic. You play at a very high level. And like I said, we're up and coming. You know, we're literally, it's kind of funny that you're going to be talking about Salinesi and kind of how that was a turning point, because, you know, it just takes one or two people that decide to buy into somebody's dream, buy into somebody's philosophy, and the sky's the limit. And I think that you saw that with the Salinesi story, being a really big-time recruit for Coach Mack, that then led to Darian Hagan and Eric Bieniemy and some of the guys that led to a national championship. But it took them in believing in a downtrodden program to get it turned around. And I think we're kind of on that cusp. We're just new, you know. And so I think it'd be a great opportunity for somebody to come in and play at a high level.
Wow, man. Well, hey, we didn't have as much time. as we have had in the past, but you definitely killed it. And it's fitting, once again, you being a former Buff, that we're going to lead into the Born to Lead crew. But keep up the great work at Missouri Baptist, Jason, and love you to death, former teammate of mine, and just keep that program going strong and take it to the next level.
Hey, will do. Love you, too. I appreciate the time. It's always great to talk to you, and you do a fantastic job. If I can just say this real quick, I'm proud of what you do, because I think that in all the recruiting services and stuff that's out there, nobody cares for the individual and mentors them and grows them in the way that you do, and I think you should be commended for that. So great job. Keep it up.
Amazing, man. Thank you for the feedback, and love you to death. And right there is Coach Jason Burionic, Missouri Baptist coach, and just real good guy. If you guys are looking at possibly playing at the NAIA level, it's a great program for you to consider. So we're going to move on now to the Born to Lead portion of the program. Hopefully you guys are getting a lot out of this locker room episode. Just to kind of lead into the crew that you're going to get a chance to listen to here, this is a huge opportunity for us. But the Born to Lead story, these are dear friends of mine, former Buffs. And Sal Inesi was an all-star, all-state type quarterback out of San Diego. He went on to the University of Colorado at a time where the university wasn't the cream of the crop as far as the football program. Went to play for Coach McCartney there. Started off, good career, very talented player, and unfortunately had an untimely passing. But it really was the linchpin and the catapult for young men to band together and eventually win a national championship. And we have the director and producer, I think they're already on the line with us, George Ananopoulos and Laura Slife. Hello, you guys. Can you hear us tonight, George?
Loud and clear, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hey, how's it going? It's good to have you guys on. And I know this is an extremely busy time for you with all of the success from the film, so thank you for joining us.
It's exciting, and thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Fabulous. And I know that we have Jeff and JJ on with us too, Jeff Campbell and JJ Flanagan, so we're going to get right to it because I know our time is limited. But for you guys have been the ones in the trenches bringing this film to fruition. Can you guys tell me a little bit about the inspiration behind creating the Born to Lead film?
Absolutely. You know, Born to Lead, the Sal Inesi story, is really a film about leadership. And, you know, the great story behind it is that Sal's spirit and Sal's legacy has allowed, you know, future generations to know about his story. We've all worked together as a great team to ensure that Sal Inesi's legacy and spirit lives on. And unfortunately, you know, he passed away from stomach cancer in 1989. And we've teamed up with one of our corporate sponsors, Amgen's Breakaway from Cancer. And they're providing resources for people battling cancer. And you can see their message tomorrow night on our CBS Sports Network telecast nationwide on the CBS Sports Network. That's Friday, October 6th, tomorrow night, at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Mountain, 5 o'clock Pacific. And you can learn more about them at www.breakawayfromcancer.com. And I'd like to turn it over to Laura, who will then introduce Jeff Campbell and J.J. Flanagan.
Definitely.
Well, I just want to take it back quickly. George actually lived at the same time, you know, at school with Sal. Now, they don't wear dorms together, but they he went to school at the same time, and I think you may probably want to say something about that.
Oh, yes.
How it kind of came about.
For the audience, so I entered the University of Colorado the same semester as Sal Inesi, and the same semester as Jeff Campbell and J.J. Flanagan that'll be on. And, you know, I watched it all unfold before my eyes, and you know, I didn't play for the team, but I was a student, and that led to Laura coming on board later. And
we met in the theater in New York, and I was rewriting and producing and doing plays off-Broadway in New York City. And I knew I wanted to transition to television and film eventually. And George told me about the story, and I had seen some footage. And, I mean, Sal's story, so inspiring. It inspired me to actually want to tell it.
Wow.
These guys, Jeff Campbell and J.J. Flanagan, who you will be speaking to in a couple of seconds here, knew Sal and played with Sal. And I have to say that these guys gave everything they had in the interviews. This story was a labor of love for over 10 years for me. And it's been a heck of a journey. And I would like to give the floor to these guys because they can say it better than any kind of a person Sal and Sal was a born leader. And he was one of the most positive figures you're ever going to want to know about. He was so inspiring and so positive, and he literally led a team, a city, a county, a nation to greatness. And he was so inspired. So I'd love to introduce these guys.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. And we have Jeff Campbell and J.J. Flanagan. These are former Buffs. These are guys that I look up to as a former Buff myself. But we'll bring on Jeff here first. Jeff, can you hear us tonight?
I can. You guys got me?
Yeah, we got you loud and clear, and we appreciate the time. And obviously, we're talking about your dear friend Sal here. Can you tell us a little bit about your relationship with Sal?
Yeah, Sal was my roommate. We came, obviously, J.I. and Sal came in the same year. And Sal and I got to be pretty good friends right out of the gate and decided that we would we'd room together. So there were five of us that actually roomed together, me, Oakland, Sal, David Gibbs, and Tim James. And it was a phenomenal, time with him. I think George and Laura did a phenomenal job of capturing the whole transition that we went through from our freshman year through the time that Sal had died, and then him being the focal point of that team, and that really brought us together. It was one of those situations where we kind of blocked the outside away. We brought our fences in, and we learned a lot about each other. We learned a lot about love. We learned a lot about leadership. We learned a lot about following somebody that had a dream and a vision. And, you know, not only our coaching staff, but teams become great when you hold each other accountable for performance. And Sal held everybody accountable for performance. And we then held each other accountable, which really took the level of play that we had from a good level to a national championship type level.
Wow, that's amazing. And when you first got to see you, were you thinking that a national championship was even a possibility, or was this just an amazing phenomenon that just morphed into that?
I think that you had a bunch of kids that loved to play football. I think you had a bunch of kids that were unbelievably competitive. Not only were we competitive with teams that we played, but we were competitive with each other. And it raised the expectation levels, I think, of the football program that we had. But, you know, I think overall, yeah, I mean, we all came in with a vision of winning a national title and turning that program around and making it great. And I think that we accomplished that certainly in the 4 years that we were there.
Great feedback right there, Jeff. And I want to bring in J.J. now. J.J., can you hear us tonight?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, buddy, and thanks for coming on tonight. This is a former Buff great, just like Jeff, and played with Sal and was a part of the team that took it all the way. Can you talk to us a little bit, JJ, about how the team stuck together? Because it was obvious that you guys got even stronger, but I know behind closed doors it was tough to deal with the passing of Sal. Was it a player? Was it Coach Mack? Who really was the glue to keep it all together?
You know, I really believe that it was a combination of all that. I say many times when people, you know, give us feedback on this film, they ask me, what was it like? You know, what was it really like? And you saw a bunch of young kids who have never lost anybody close to them, let alone, you know, a teammate that you played along with side of. And, you know, it was one of those situations where you just started to eventually start to look around and go, wow, these guys are going through the same thing I am, you know, and Sal's going through something that's much tougher than we could ever go through. And it just kind of, you know, like Jeff said, it really bonded us. You know, it took a bunch of kids who thought they were, you know, God's gift of football, and it brought us back to realization what's really important. And what we found on that team, which resulted in success, but we found love, we found respect for one another. We were dealing with a lot of things, you know, dealing with the Boulder police and the perception of football players at that time. And, you know, if anyone can learn a lesson, it should be everyone that realized that everything we went through out there, you know, socially in Boulder, it really brought us together. And it resonated when we got on the football field. And we can honestly look across the locker room before we stepped on that field in each other's eyes and basically tell them, I got your back. You can count on me today. And it was that type of attitude.
Wow, that's powerful right there. I literally got goosebumps. And I'll take it back to Jeff. Was it just something about Sal in particular that galvanized everybody? Or do you think if it was anybody on the team, it still would have had that effect?
You know, I think that your galvanized is a phenomenal word for who Sal was. He was a guy that, you know, Oakland says in the movie that, you know, if you're with him, you're on his team, you're his family. And that's exactly what he brought. I mean, Sal brought the word family to our team, and it was about high expectations, and there were, you know, you needed to play your position, but we never played against anybody. We played for each other. And I think that was the transition that we made that really took us from, you know, from one level to another, because we really cared about each other. I mean, Jay hit it on the head. It was a team that was built on family. It was a team that was built on love. And we learned that from Sal, and it was never about the opponent. It was all about us. And that was a big deal. And I can tell you this, one of the hardest times I've ever had in my life was taking that jersey off for the last time in the Orange Bowl and putting it into a bag, because I knew that I was losing part of my family. These guys will be my family for life, but to be able to spend the days with them that we got to spend with them and kind of the path that Sal showed us to go down, that was going to change a little bit because we weren't going to be together. But I'll tell you what, it's certainly things that I've even learned throughout my life. I use every day from that experience that we had at Colorado.
Amazing, amazing. Great feedback right there, Jeff. And JJ, I wanted to ask you another question before we get back to George and Laura. As far as, because this was almost like a two-year evolution as far as almost winning it, the national championship in 89, and the year of his passing to 1990, where you actually won it. Can you talk to us a little bit about the off season? The summer conditioning, the training camp. Did you guys get the feeling that something special was about to take place?
Well, going into the 89 year, it was, we knew we had the talent. I mean, we just felt it. You know, one thing I tell people all the time is that I never felt that the other teams was as much competition as what we were playing against every day in practice. I mean, you tell me someone that can line up against Alpha Williams, Knavis McGee, Chad Brown, Joel Steed, Deion Figures, and name all these guys that are on that squad with us. You know, and most teams don't get that, you know, on a biweekly basis. We got it daily. And yep. So that level of competition, that level of competitiveness with us was so special. It was a really good special time, and you know, Jeff alluded to it earlier. You know, I want to make sure I reemphasize this. We became a family, and that's why, you know, even when we have our bus for life in Denver, you know, we brought Maurice Jones-Drew in 1 year. Eric Bieniemy brought him in 1 year, And Eric, you know, and Marie said to me, "Go, this is amazing. Even UCLA, a great story program like that, don't have something like this." He said, "What you guys have is special." And that just, when he said that to me, you know, sometimes you take for granted what you have. And sometimes until you hear someone from the outside say how special something we have. That started way back in 1986, and you know, in our struggles that went into the 89 year and our success. But, you know, we lost that game, but the remainder of those players after me and Jeff went on to the next level was able to stay on that same path and understand that, you know, you continue to play for each other. You play for each other, and I love what Jeff said. You play for each other is way more important than trying to play against another team. Play for each other, and that's going to make you successful.
Well said right there, JJ. And from me to you guys, I appreciate learning the story of what you guys went through. Obviously, I know it from when I played at CU. But you guys are really the linchpin. You guys are basically the foundation for where CU football is today. And I was fortunate enough to win a Big 12 championship, but there will be no better team. Even when CU gets back to the national championship, there will be no more significant team than you guys. So I appreciate you guys, and thank you for coming on the show.
We appreciate that.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to be on your show. Thanks for letting us on.
Definitely. So let me go back to George and Laura, and I'll let Jeff and JJ go. And we're so happy to have those gentlemen on tonight. But to go back to George and Laura, because you guys have put in hours and hours and have to take the leap of faith and a lot of money spent to make this film come about. Can you tell me what just made you guys keep going, even when it got tight with the money or when somebody told you no? What made you guys keep going, George?
Great question. Thank you. Honestly, it was Sal's spirit. And Sal and Effie had to fight through the most brutal of obstacles, cancer. And through his power and his force and his spirit, that caused the team to rally around him, as Laura explained. So whenever I felt sorry for myself for about a nanosecond or not even like a split full second, I always just thought about, well, you know, if Sal had to fight through all that, then what do I have to complain about? I should just keep fighting and, you know, keeping true to the vision and knowing that we have a dream and we want it to come true. And we want the world to see this great inspirational documentary film that we believe is one of the best. And it just made me fight harder. And Laura?
I just knew that this story had to be told. And we were not going to stop until it was told, until, you know, everything came together. And, that's what kind of kept us going, because we just knew we weren't going to stop. We already put so much time, effort, energy, you know, money, resources into this that there was no way that we were going to let it just go, you know. And
also, I mean, you know, and for the audience out there, before you go pro audience, all the high school guys out there and whatever sports you're in and you're looking to go pro, you know, winners never quit. And quitters never win. It sounds cliche, but it's so true. And, yeah. You know, we also had a great team behind us with, you know, the University of Colorado, Jeff Campbell, JJ Flanagan, these great, great guys that always supported us, Darian Hagan, Oakland Salavea, the Yanese family, the McCartney family. And so, you know, we had a lot of people that were depending on us, and so we didn't want to let them down. And we're just, you know, really proud that everybody has the chance. And if I may just give a plug, we're going to be, for those out there in the audience that can't see it on CBS Sports Network tomorrow night, on Thursday, October 19th, 2 weeks from this evening, we'll be at the Pomona Fox Theater. That's in Pomona, California. And that's in Southern California. And we're going to be screening the film, and Jeff Campbell will be there, JJ Flanagan. There's going to be some very nice you know, very nice events happening from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock that night. And we're just really grateful to have this opportunity, Terrence.
Well, we are thrilled to have you guys on and obviously to watch the film. I know firsthand the work that you guys have put in behind the closed doors, and I just really tip my cap to you and Laura about sticking to it and seeing it through. And your work embodies Sal's spirit, so I know the film is going to be magnificent. For those that have already maybe seen it, or for those who will see it, George, what are you hoping for them to get out of the film?
We would love for people to walk away from experiencing Born to Lead, the Sal and Essay story, and just know that Sal was about leadership. And you don't have to love football. You don't have to be a University of Colorado fan. You don't have to go to, you know, CU, or you might go to UCLA, or you might go to Missouri Southern Baptist, or you might go to University of Miami, or it doesn't matter, because Sal's spirit is in all of us from God that allows us all to fight against all odds, insurmountable odds. It's the film is actually a reflection of Sal and Essay's life and story. And so, you know, it's a message of hope, leadership, and fighting on even when all the chips are stacked against you. Keep going anyway, in spite of it.
Amazing.
Inspired millions to greatness, and it was my goal and it's my dream to have Sal's story continue to inspire millions to greatness.
And this film, Terrence, and so the audience know, this is the vehicle that's championing this message that we have. And we're just very blessed and very humbled.
I'm so happy for you guys. And I know that the film is going to do a lot for many. And every football player, every football team across the country, sports teams in general, sales organizations, if you want to check out an inspirational story and get motivated to make something happen in your life, Born to Lead, the Sal and Essay story is the film that you need to watch. And we are so excited. So give us one more time before we let you go tonight, George and Laura. The CBS Times. Can you tell us the CBS Times for tomorrow?
Absolutely. So tomorrow, Friday, October 6th, you can watch Born to Lead, the Sal and Essay story on the CBS Eastern on the East Coast, which is 7 o'clock Central Time Zone, 6 o'clock Mountain Time Zone, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time Zone. And it's 2 hours long. And then for those in Southern California that would like to attend and meet these University of Colorado legends, just like Terrence Wood is a legend, but J.J. Flanagan and J.J. Flanagan and Jeff Campbell, Laura, myself, and many noted others will be at the Pomona Fox Theater 2 weeks from tonight. That's Pomona, California, which is in greater Los Angeles. And that's, again, at the Pomona Fox Theater in Pomona, California. And that starts at 5 p.m. on Thursday, October 19th, 2 weeks from tonight.
Wow. Amazing, George. You guys keep kicking butt out there and spreading the good word about Born to Lead, the Sal and Essay story. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, Terrence.
Thank you, Terrence.
No problem. So there you guys have it. We went a little bit longer tonight, but as you can see why, it was definitely needed, because I couldn't leave you guys just with Coach Birionic. Obviously, the recruiting information is what we need, but the Born to Lead crew, George and Laura, JJ and Jeff, they have completed an amazing film, you guys, and really hope you guys get to check that out tomorrow night, because it's going to get you pumped up for the rest of your season and just to live life to the fullest. So really proud of those two for finishing up those films. And our recap, as far as what Coach Birionic was saying, is you got to keep in mind the NAIA is a viable option for some of you kids looking for scholarship money. Not all the NCAA schools offer scholarship money, but NAIA schools do. Lower requirements academically to get in. And then they're sending kids to get pro opportunities just like the rest of the schools out there. So you guys pay attention to the NAIA conference. And then tomorrow night, CBS Network, Sports Network, check out Born to Lead, the Sal and Nessie story. You guys have a good one. I am Coach Wood signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP family. We will definitely see you at the top.
Just know we're getting closer. I just know we're getting closer than I ever been.
Yeah, I used to dream about showing the world what I dream about. To get a mic my whole life, I thought it'd be the mouth. I guess it's fitting how life threw me the curveball. Pops told me work till you make it, man, then work more. I guess I took that to heart, cause I've been working harder now than I did at the start. And I won't stop till I get to the top, till I can give all of my fam all the things that they want. But there ain't no doubt I continue to be the doubted, but that's just motivating, so where would I be without it? Cause the same people asking why you're doing it will ask you how you did it. So fuck the credit, stay committed to your vision. They can't see it, it's yours. The top floor looks far where you can get in the doors. But it's crazy what you can see with your eyes closed. That's why I stay in my grind mode. I know I'm getting closer,
closer, closer than I ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I ever been. I just know we're getting closer. I just know we're getting closer.
My whole life's been a chase, it's a gift and a curse. Was on my way up to the top and slipped into reverse. And the same thing I thought killed me brought out the real me. And that's real, see. You gotta find what you love and let it kill you. Just gotta live with the will like Uncle Phil do. Cause on the real, everybody go through times when the sun don't shine. Don't know when that time will come, but it will come in time. Cause yo, I said it first, ain't no telling where I'm headed. So this is for the people that was with me when I said it. And when I said it, I meant it, I swear I won't forget it. Told my family and my friends that I'm forever indebted.
Closer, closer, closer than I ever been. Closer, closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer than I ever been.
You start losing your mind when you're gone all the time, and you're always on the move, move. And you try to remind yourself it's gonna be fine, and you're hoping that it's true, true, true. You start losing your mind when you're gone all the time, and you're always on the move. And you try to remind yourself it's gonna be fine, and you're hoping that it's true. But I know we're getting closer.